Okay. The agenda. Anybody have any changes, additions to the agenda?
This is Chris. I make a motion that we table, I believe it was Resolution 2011.
Okay. This is Annie. Can we, instead of using the word table, can we just have it removed?
Yeah. That's fine. Okay. Any objections?
We don't have a motion for us about it.
Okay. So, Chris, you made a motion to accept the agenda with the removal of 20-11?
Yeah, that's correct, Mayor.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay. Second by Ingrid. Any other changes to the agenda? Okay. If there's no objections, then the agenda will stand as amended. Okay. At this time, does anybody feel they have a conflict of interest on any of the items on the agenda? Okay. So, community roll call, Tina.
Mr. Mayor, there are two school issues, and I just want to mention that I am a school principal in the district. One is related to Sanford specifically, and the resolution.
Yeah, I don't see where you have any capital gains or anything that would benefit you directly, so.
Thank you.
Okay. No other conflicts? Any roll call?
Standpoint. Myself, Mayor Rostebach, Assembly Members, Paul Grunhoff, Carol Foster, Ingrid Cumberledge, and Joseph Schengen. Okay.
In King Cove, we have Chris and myself.
All staff, anyone else with you, Sandra?
No, just me.
Thank you. Colbe? Accutan?
Where said Accutan person?
Nelson Lagoon? Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor Speck and Assembly, and myself, Annie Bailey, Charlotte Levy, Ernie Weiss, Mary Teshi, Gary Hennig, Lenora Dushkin, Laura Tanis, and Warren Wilson's here.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, do we have any public comments on the agenda item? Okay, minutes of the July 2nd, 2019 meeting. We need a motion.
I move to
second. To adopt.
Warren here. Okay, second by Warren. Does anybody have any problems with the minutes, any changes or anything?
I think Kina took care of that at the workshop, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, if there's no objections. We have a motion. Question on the motion. Yes, sir. Or can I just do it? Okay. If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as.
Mayor Osterbach, this is Annie. I just wanted to let you know Amber Yusufovich with King Cove came in here too.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
Okay, so item 6, financial report. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. In the packet is your June 29 financials. I will ask that a minor motion be made to adjust line item E20-866-209-888, project contingency, and an Assembly member can do that for you later. And with that, if there's any questions on the financials, please let me know.
Questions, anyone? A motion? Mayor is on leave.
I move that we adopt the agenda before us with the amendment that on item E20-866-209-888 that Annie outlined a minor change. She outlined that in the workshop. So be the motion.
Okay. Second?
Second it.
Okay. Second by Carol with Annie's explanation and correction to finance. Paul.
Perhaps Annie went over some of the legislative action that affected her budget. Maybe she, with the public listening, we could review all that action that, at the state level that affected us directly.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, I can, I guess, give a brief update just on stuff at the state. So in my report at the back of the packet, there's like most current as of July 30th, 2019, update kind of that Mark Hickey, our state lobbyist, provided. For us, what House Bill 2001 proposed is that they restore 50% for school bond debt reimbursement and $17 million for REA capital vetoed by the governor. So that's great news for us. Hopefully, once this is all finalized, I can give you an actual update on impacts to the borough. It also restores the state debt payment for special port and harbor projects, which includes Accutan and False Pass for us as well. Other things in the reverse sweep, it reinstated funding for the power cost equalization program, performance scholarships, and other items. It restored funding for K-12 education for FY21 and all special Department of Education DEED programs such as Head Start, Pre-K, and OWL, which I believe the city of Sandpoint and the city of Cold Bay will still receive. Anything else, Paul, that you were looking for on that?
No, just in general terms. Sorting through the newspapers is a little difficult. Seems like you have a pretty good handle on it. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Annie?
And Mayor Osterbeck, just so you know, Brenda Wilson joined us.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Okay. You want to call the question on the motion?
Brenda.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chelsea? Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So in your packet, you have the investment reports for June. That's there for your information. So does anybody have any questions or comments on the investment? Okay. If not, consent agenda, we have none. So ordinances, we have two. So the introduction of ordinance 20-01 authorizing the assignment of certain real property leased by the AEB, leased ADA 07842. Need a motion and a second to schedule for public hearing.
Make a motion.
Okay. Motion by Josie.
I'll second it.
Second by Carol. So this would be scheduled for September's regular meeting date. Paul?
Just had one quick question. I don't know if it pertains to both these ordinances, but the time period that we're obligated to now, how long are the leases running until? whatever the ordinance proposes to transfer.
So, Mayor Osterback and Assembly, I don't have that lease right in front of me at the moment, but I believe that lease is for 55 years. And I can get that information to you at a later date.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. So, that's okay.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Sophie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So this ordinance will show up, I believe it's September 12th is our next regular meeting. Next, we need a motion and a second for introduction of ordinance 20-02 authorizing the sale of certain real property owned by AAB Kobe School Building and Lot 1A, Block 10, Kobe, Alaska. So we need a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing.
This is Chris. I make a motion.
Thank you, Chris. Okay. Second by Josie. Discussion, Annie.
Yes, Mayor, I'll speak assembly. So before you was 20-01 authorizing the assignment of the real property leased by the borough, and then this one is authorizing the sale of certain real property owned by the borough. So this is in regards to the Kobe School. And basically the borough leases the land from the state of Alaska and has to do an assignment of lease to transfer this property to another entity, and then we own the school building, so we have to sell that to another entity, where there's an example of a bill of sale here in the packet. The borough passed a resolution in 2016 authorizing the mayor to dispose of the school, Kobe School, with negotiations with federal, state government, local government, native tribes, et cetera. We issued the RFIP, the Request for Interest Proposals. The City of Kobe expressed interest in November 2016, but in June 2018, they decided to no longer pursue it. So we reissued the Request for Interest and Proposals in July 2018. We received no interest from that. So then after consulting with our attorneys, we issued a Request for Interest and Proposals to private and public entities for the facility. We received one response from Aleutian Services Incorporated, who intend to use it for community activities, allowing the use of the gym, be a space for airline passengers during emergency landings, expand their offices for business growth, and they want to utilize waste heat to help offset the heating costs for that facility. So in order to do this, the one that you already approved for a public hearing was for the lease lot, and this one is proposing to sell the facility to Aleutian Services as is where is for $10, which is less than fair market value. And the administration believes the sale will benefit the community and the borough and recommends approval.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie? Carol?
I have a question. Hey, Annie, about how much a month are we paying for the school just to be sitting there?
Well, we pay an annual lease. Yeah, we pay an annual lease of about, I think, $5,000 for the actual lot. And then we still pay utilities to run it, which run, I believe it's about $10,000 a year just to have that building sit there. And it's continuously deteriorating as well, so there's just some additional costs and liabilities associated with it. And we're paying insurance, too, so there's quite a few costs associated with this building sitting there unoccupied.
Okay, Annie, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. And I think just one other clarification that came up during the workshop was what could the building be used for, other than what they stated, and it was clarified that because it's still on state land and close to the airport, that the way that it's outlined for the use, they'll be held to that for the state of Alaska FAA. So, clarify that. So if there's no other questions, you want to call the question on the ordinance to be scheduled for September meeting?
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. With that, we have before us multiple resolutions. So the first one, Resolution 20-10, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract agreement between the AEB and Professional Growth Systems for strategic planning services in the amount not to exceed $46,000. We need a motion. And a second. Put it on the floor.
I'll make the motion to bring 20-10 on the floor.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Carol, second by Ingrid. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Oshbach and Assembly, Resolution 2010. Basically, in 2017 and 2018, the borough hired Professional Growth Systems, which I'll refer to as PGS, to provide strategic planning services for the borough. We'd like to continue the strategic planning process for the March 1st, 2020 through February 28th, 2021 timeframe, so our third year of strategic planning, and we're interested in reenlisting PGS's services for an amount not to exceed $46,000. With that, is there any questions?
Questions from the Assembly? Carol?
I don't have a question. I just have a comment. I think that the $46,000 is well spent. I think it's a very good program. Over the last 2 years, we've actually seen a lot of stuff being done in the borough, plus the yearly meetings brings us all together as one with all the entities within the borough. So to me, I think it's money well spent.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Question on the resolution.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Lucy?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Before us, we have Resolution 20-11, authorizing the... Oh, no. It was removed. Sorry, 2011 was removed from the agenda. Resolution 20-12, authorizing the appropriation of $800,000 from the AEB's AML investment pool account for the Cold Bay Clinic construction project. We need a motion and a second.
I make a motion. This is Chris.
So Ingrid made the motion, seconded by Chris. Annie?
Mr. Mayor, our second assembly, before you use Resolution 2012, the borough is interested in pursuing the construction of a new health clinic in Cold Bay, which is outlined in our strategic plan and has been a goal of the borough for quite some time. The borough has completed the business plan, has selected a site, has updated the design, and received a new cost estimate just recently. The cost estimate dated July 18, 2019 for the clinic is $4,742,215 for FY20 construction. This is approximately $1.3 million less than we anticipated due to the redesign that we did. So that's great news. The estimates include the base bid, three add alternates, which includes dirt interior modular wall system, adding pavement at the building perimeter and handicap parking area, and adding AC pavement to balance of parking lot. It also includes the architecture and engineering fees and contingency funds. As of May 2019, per those financials, the borough had about $478,000 from an FY15 grant. It has and also has 3.3 $3,337,000 from FY15, 18, 19, and 20 permanent fund earning appropriations. EATS also committed $250,000 in October 2017, and an agreement has been signed with EATS regarding those funds. So currently, as of May 2019, we had $4,065,041.50 available. The borough needs an additional $677,202 to complete the project in FY20. In order to complete this in FY20, administration has determined that funding the remaining deficit using borough funds is the most time and cost-effective way. The borough has approximately $1.3 million in the borough's AMLIP, which is the Alaska Municipal League investment pool account, that were previously invested in a money market account and a CD deposit account. These funds, this $1.3 million, were funds paid back from borough appropriations for the Cold Bay Terminal project, and they are unrestricted funds that can be appropriated towards the Cold Bay Clinic project. Administration recommends appropriating $800,000 from the AMLIP account to cover the $677,000 deficit and have approximately $122,000 in contingency funds in case the construction bids come in more than expected. And we have been noticing that recently in almost every bid we've gone out, it's came over budget. So this would be reflected, if approved, under Fund 20, and we would have $4,865,041.50 available for the project, and we can get started, which is absolutely exciting. So if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Chris. I just got a couple of comments. I'm very happy that the administration went out and found this money. I know we've been talking about this building, this new clinic, for quite some time, and I know I'm very familiar with the one that's over there now, and the location that it's at is very, it's in a dangerous location with the building next door to it. And I think that this is going to be certainly an asset to Cold Bay, with them being a hub and them dealing with medevacs, not only from our communities, but from the Coast Guard bringing people in too. I think that this is going to benefit the whole borough, and I'm glad that this is moving on, and I think it's going to be a beautiful building once it's done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As Chris stated, the borough has been supporting this for quite a while, so it's a very good project, and thanks to the staff for putting it all together. But one quick question. When is the bid opening anticipated?
So, Mayor Ostrovac, if I may, our plan is if this is approved, we will have a RFP or RFQ written to hire an architect / engineer to help write the bid documents for the actual construction. And then that would hopefully happen, and then by February 2020, we would issue the bid for construction with the hopes of getting somebody out there by April or May of 2020.
Clear as 2020, then. Excellent. Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Yeah, call the question.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. That's going to be a good project, and let's hope everything goes as planned. Thank you, Annie, and the rest of the staff there for getting that all put together. Resolution 2013, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a notice to proceed to Dowell for phase one of the Sandpoint School deed. DEED grant application in an amount not to exceed $6,945. We need a motion. And a second.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Josie. Second?
This is Brenda, second.
Okay. Second by Ingrid. Okay. You want to go through this one, Annie?
Yes, Mayor, so actually I'll defer to Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. So as you know, we've been doing a lot of deferred maintenance work on the Sandpoint School. Most recently, we're working on the painting project. Last summer, we did mechanical and electrical and controls work. But Dow has identified other work that needs to be completed in the next 5 to 10 years. So they've recommended that we apply for the State of Alaska's major maintenance grant application from the Department of Education. So phase one of that work will be to put together a list of documents we'll need for that grant application, figure out what work has already been completed, what work we'll still need to do. I anticipate there's going to be a lot of public involvement in this, work with the school district. So over the next year, we'll start working on that. But the initial work needs to be completed to figure out what the scope of this application will be. So phase one of this work will be approximately $6,500 to complete. After that, we will work on phase two, which will come back to the Assembly for approval at a later date. So this resolution before you is to approve phase one of this work. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary. Questions for Mary? Okay, hearing none. Call question.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And the last resolution before us is 20-14, authorizing the mayor to approve a change order with Bering Industrial Contractors, Inc. for deferred maintenance work at the Acton School, increasing not to exceed $335,886. We need a motion and a second. Motion, Warren. Okay, motion's been made by Ingrid, second by Warren. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Ashbeck and Assembly, before you is Resolution 20-14. At the July 2, 2019 Assembly meeting, the Borough passed Resolution 2008, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Bering Industrial Contractors for the work in Accutan in an amount not to exceed $325,000. The Borough and Bering and Dow identified some cost savings, so on July 22, 2019, the borough entered into a contract with Bering in an amount not to exceed $320,000. After further review, Dow and Bering suggested upgrading the existing HVAC system that's about 20 years old to a more modern direct digital control system, and that would basically increase the cost for that part by about $15,866. Therefore, we do a change order in that amount, which would then amend the contract to be in an amount not to exceed $335,866. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I certainly would support this change, but I think the title's a little misleading. Maybe next time it should mention 15,000 and increase it, because if you don't have time to read the whole packet and just saw the title, you'd think we're adding 335,000. Just a little bit, it's a minor detail, but good project. Thank you.
Any other comments? If not, question on Resolution 2014?
Sophie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. So, next item is new business, and we don't have any. So, we're down to reports and updates. Annie, you want to take the lead?
Yes, Mayor Ashback and Assembly. In the packets of my report, but just a brief overview, the first part is school improvements. So on July 15th, the borough entered into an agreement with Dow to assist with the construction admin duties for the Actan school project in the amount of $18,757. On July 22nd, we did, as I just mentioned, enter into a contract with Berrien Industrial Contractors for amount of $320,000, and now that that resolution's passed, we'll do a change order to get that new HVAC system in. The other one was on August 1st. The borough entered into a contract with Kukar Construction in the amount of $361,299 for the Sandpoint School paint and sealant project. This is about $23,000 less than what we anticipated due to some recognized cost savings in the windows and the deck paint that we will be using. Today I did send an email out to the superintendent and out to the principal, to Ingrid, regarding the plans for that project, but essentially they'll be repainting and recaulking the entire exterior of the school and replacing 16 windows in the library that are leaking. They are planning on going out on August 15th to mobilize to the site and begin work, and then they'll be doing all the painting, ceiling, scraping, you name it, until then. And, of course, if the weather, this is heavily weather-dependent, so there is a contingency time to complete the project in the spring of 2020 if necessary. So that's moving, super exciting. It took a little longer than we anticipated, but we can start work on that. Is there any questions on that before I move on? Okay, the Cold Bay Terminal. So on July 9th, Emil and I, representatives from Grant Aviation and Raven, conducted a site visit at the Cold Bay Terminal. During that site visit, we identified the airline lease space, exclusive use, and joint use spaces that each entity will want, and also the public use areas. We identified tenant improvements. Literally, we went room by room and wrote them down of what needs to happen. And based off that meeting, we are finalizing the lease and exhibits, and we've begun outlining the improvement needs for the facility. So Emil's going through and on the ones that he's going to conduct and writing lists and getting costs and stuff like that. And then we're also going out to request for quotes for the airport seating and the conveyor belt and the ticket counter. So we're moving on that. We won't start any tenant improvements until there's ink on the paper that it's a go, but we are doing all the preliminary work, so we're ready to go when we can. So a lot of progress has been done in a very short amount of time. King Cove Road update, as you know, on the 22nd of July, the United States Court of Appeals dismissed the appeal that they did, and then that the King Cove Corporation, the Department of Interior, had signed a new land exchange in July. Just the other day, I cannot find my notes, but basically on August 7th, so yesterday, the Defenders of Wildlife filed suit in the U.S. District Court against DOI over the land exchange that was signed in July. Our attorney will be reviewing the complaint for declaratory and injunctive relief, which I believe Tina sent to you earlier today, and we'll be working, the attorney will be working with DOI and others on developing strategies and recommendations for future actions. So I'll provide updates when I can and when they're available. Any questions? Okay, so payment. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, which action are they asking for, this last suit yesterday? What action? If we didn't get a copy of it, the only thing I've been reading is what's in the paper. So
earlier today, I believe, and Tina, I'm assuming it went out, but we sent you the actual document that the environmentalist sent to the court. And I haven't had a chance to read it all because it's 42 pages. It's really long. So we're going to have the attorneys review it and provide a summary on it. Okay. But I believe it's similar to what happened last time.
Okay. Yeah, it'll go out later. The clerk says she's busy at the meeting here.
Okay.
So she doesn't have time. So that's fine.
Worry.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So there's a PILT update, payment in lieu of taxes. Senator Murkowski introduced a bill to reform the population caps. We did send out or approve a resolution a couple months ago regarding this, but basically it'll change the PILT formula to increase payments for boroughs like ourselves with populations less than 5,000. That's great news. I kind of gave a brief update on the state of Alaska items, but we'll send you more as we get more information from Mark. It is really hard to follow. I mean, we read the paper and try to get the updates like that, just like everyone else, and it's extremely hard to follow. So Mark's been doing a fantastic job of summarizing it and getting us the information if we need to, and I'm trying to get that to you as the Assembly as quickly as I can. A few other items, a leaking fuel truck in King Cove. Is there a question? Sorry.
Annie, this is Ingrid. Just on the governor's side of things, this is sitting on his desk, and he has until the 30th to make more vetoes. Is that the correct date?
I believe so. It was 20 days from when they recessed, right? I think.
And I've heard rumors or indications that he's going to be more reasonable. Has Mark indicated that that he has developed an understanding of what reasonable is?
I don't know. In the last thing that Mark said, there was an underlining comment that seemed a little ominous that the governor may still make veto cuts. I mean, we're all trying to interpret it without actually knowing, so that's the last that there could possibly be veto cuts. And then with the change with Tuckerman Babcock and Ben Stevens, there's just a lot of activity going on at the state level.
Okay, so on that, we'll kind of know when we know is?
Yep, I have a feeling we'll know when we know. So, and we're trying to get the information to you as soon as we learn things.
So. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions on that? Okay, so just FYI, there was a leaking fuel truck that was in King Cove that was left by the contractors a long time ago. We had hired the city of King Cove to remove that, and it's been disposed of. A big thank you to Joe, Calvert, Gary, and Amber for that. He did a great job and did it very quickly, so it's very appreciated. And then lastly, just an update on the Cold Bay Terminal. So during the break between the work session and the meeting, the mail came, and I received a letter from NOAA, or National Weather Service, that they will be terminating their lease with the borough for the terminal. Per the lease, they have to give us 180 days notice. They've provided that now, and then they intend to vacate the premises effective January 31st, 2020. So we won't be receiving any rent after that date. Currently, we receive about $81,000 a year from that lease, about $6,790 a month. And that makes up a huge portion of our revenue for that facility. So I literally just got this about an hour and a half ago, so I wanted to let you guys know, and we'll be reacting or adjusting as we need to. So. That's all I have. And then one more thing in response to Paul about the Cold Bay school lease. I did look that up. It actually expires April 1st, 2024, the lease for the school. And in that, we did have to extend it just recently because if we didn't, we'd be out of compliance and then they'd make us demolish the building and do all sorts of things. So 2024 is when that lease expires.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor, I got a question for Annie.
Okay.
Hey, Annie, this is Chris. Hey, out on that site where the hovercraft was originally, and I think I remember years ago, there was probably a verbal type deal made with somebody to try to remove a lot of the stuff that was left over out there. But a lot of it never got moved, and I was just kind of curious. I mean, there's a lot of scrap metal out there that's just rusting away, and you know, it doesn't look all that great when we're trying to, you know, get a road, and you drive through and you see this big area of just, kind of garbage left out there from, you know, from the past building sites that have been out there and camps that have gone through to put the road in. And I was just wondering, is the borough looking at trying to clean that up or police that up, or what's up with that?
Well, I actually didn't know that that was out there, but yes, we're trying to clean stuff up, and I believe there may have been some agreements in the past about people removing it, but nothing was in writing, so I can't. Anyway, so it's the borough's responsibility to do so. So those are things we'll look at. Yes, we will look into that.
One more comment on out on that old hovercraft site. I don't know how much land the borough owns there. I think it's the corporation's land. But then the borough has those culverts out there that are blowing away into the bay with the wind. They were tied up at one point, but the last winter I know I've seen two or three of them that went out in the bay, and they're all scattered along the beach. And I'm sure they're on the other side of Cold Bay. Some of them are. But here's what hurts me on that is I see people shipping those same culverts up on barges going up north. If we didn't need them or want them, but I know eventually we may get this road and we'll need them then, but if we were to do something with it, we could hide them away like we did the metal ones down there behind the airport in King Cove and get them out of that twister zone down there where it takes them up into the air with the tornadoes that go through there and throw them out in the bay. So that's my comment on that site there. And there is some scrap metal there. You get another contractor that comes through there that wants to do something, you know, they could use some of that. But if it was, like, put in the right spot where it's not so visible, maybe. But my concern is, I don't know, you look at the culverts that are there, probably $350,000 worth of materials there with the different size culverts. And, I mean, something blowing away in the wind is not the right thing to happen. And I know that in years past when Stanley was the mayor, there was some verbal agreements on who was supposed to tie them up, so to speak, or keep them from blowing away. So, but now they're blown away again, and I don't know, with that tank that was just removed there, I think that actually was the borough's tank. They were going to haul fuel to Ferguson and Cold Bay with that tank, but I think the contractors took all their stuff out of there. That's my comments on that site there.
There's also still brand new guardrail material out there too that, like Warren said, could be moved where those metal culverts are stationed behind the airport there. So,
yeah, the guardrails is, I'm sure, the borough's because of the when the contract moved, all that stuff was bought by the borough. So that is the borough's and. That's some good metal sitting there that should be stored away for in case somebody does drive up the side of the road down there. It can be repaired with the material sitting in King Cove.
I have a question. Josie? Since we're talking about the hovercraft up there, is the warehouse that housed the hovercraft still standing? I know the roof caved in on one portion of it, didn't it?
The one in King Cove? I haven't seen a hovercraft building. That's all gone, isn't it?
That's all gone.
The hovercraft building is up at Fort Knox Gold Mine.
Okay. I was just wondering where to store. He said hide them.
Oh. Well, it sounds like some of us or someone or two need to make a trip to King Cove and get this all figured out. Looking at one person sitting back here smiling away there. Anyway, yeah, I'm glad it was brought out to our attention, and we need to take care of all of that. So I'll work on it with Annie here. Okay. If there's no other questions for Annie, and thanks all you troops there in King Cove for bringing that up, because otherwise we wouldn't know about taking place. So. Oh, Carol, you have a question?
I was just wondering, Annie, with the airlines, are you kind of thinking that maybe Grant and Raven might go into the terminal and kind of pick up the slack of the other guys getting out? Or
yes.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones we're talking to. But legally, we can't make money off of airlines. It's illegal to do so. So we can break even on that. So the loss from upstairs will still be a little bit of a hit. So since I just found out, I've got to kind of think about it and reassess where we're at and what we're going to do.
Okay, I guess, so you can't make a profit off the airlines, so I don't, can you charge them rent space? And then what do you, I mean, can you charge them rent? That's not a profit, right? Or is it a profit?
Right, no, we can charge them rent, and we can recoup all our costs associated with it. So, like, we have a terminal manager, supplies, things like that. We can depreciate that over time on an annual basis, but we can't, like, make money. Like, we can't do an upcharge of 10% or something like that. So we'll break even on that part, but that's just for the first floor and what they're renting. That wouldn't be for the upstairs.
You must be able to include the utilities in that too.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Now, Annie, what was, and I don't know, maybe it was said, what was the price that that NOAA was paying us?
It was $81,000 a year, about.
Okay. Any other questions for Annie on her report? Hearing none. Mary.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. Before you is my report. So first, as always, I have an update for the strategic plan. So first up is the False Pass Harbor House design project. We are making progress on this project, which is great. The RFP has been written and has been sent to the City of False Pass for their review. We do plan on meeting with the city next week, the end of next week, to discuss finalizing the RFP and figure out next steps prior to posting, which means this substantially completes an item on our strategic plan. So once we are able to post the RFP, quarter two for this project will be completed, which is great. So once I have more information about the outcome of that meeting with the city, and once we've posted it, I'll be able to give more information about next steps for this project to the Assembly at a later date. Next, Cold Bay Clinic. We've already discussed several items that I've listed here. So the strategic plan item for this quarter was updating the cost estimate, which was completed on July 18th. The new cost estimate for the project is approximately $4.75 million, which, as we've mentioned before, is a substantial reduction than previous projections. This includes approximately $3.725 million for construction, $224,000 for project management services, and $800,000 in contingency funding. Because the Assembly passed Resolution 20-12, this project is fully funded, which is really exciting. And I know the Assembly and the mayor and mayors prior have been working really hard to put away money for this project, not really knowing when it was going to take place. So it's really exciting to see this project funded and moving forward at a faster pace than maybe we thought. So it's really exciting. So additional work that we've been doing on clinic project includes finalizing an MOU between the city, the borough, and EAT for project involvement. That's also something that was on the strategic plan, so that MOU will come before the Assembly, hopefully at the September meeting, for your review. And that's kind of just outlining different roles and responsibilities for each entity as the project moves forward. Also included at the end of my report is a report about energy efficiency measures for the clinic design. This was at the request of an Assembly member, and once we finished the design back in June, we were able to put this list together. So feel free to take a look at it at your convenience. If you have any questions, I'll be on that particular portion. I'll be happy to try to answer them. If not, I can consult with our architect and get you the answers that you need. So any questions so far? Cool. So last is the Sandpoint School grant project. We already talked about this with the previous resolution, but We will make progress on phase one following this meeting, get that notice to proceed signed and started with Dell. And like I mentioned at the work session, we anticipate submitting for the grant application next year, September 1st, 2020. So we'll have plenty of time to get the application put together and all the documents we need and all of that for 2020. So I will give you more information on progress as we move forward with that project. Moving on to other items and announcements, on July 16th, the borough issued a supplemental notice of proceed to Environmental Management, Inc. to include exterior lead-based paint testing onto their original scope of work for the Sandpoint School asbestos testing for an additional $1,553. The paint testing was to be done ahead of the paint testing was to be done ahead of the painting that will be completed at the school later this summer. EMI traveled to Sandpoint the week of July 28th and found no lead in the exterior paint, which is great. The asbestos test results are pending and should be available in the next 2 weeks. So that was a successful trip, and they made it in and out on schedule, which is always a good thing. Moving on, signs and materials for borough-owned bridges in King Cove and Falls Pass is another project we've been working on. Most materials have been shipped. Some have arrived, and I'm working with the cities to help us with that project labor aspect. So getting some of that stuff checked off us. And then, of course, this month I assisted with borough projects, including work being completed at the schools, planning and management for the terminal lease negotiations, tenant improvements, and then participating in planning discussions for the Accoon Dock and Breakwater project. So it's been a busy couple of months, a couple of weeks. Last, I wanted to give a brief update on the EAT and APIA Opioid and Substance Use Community Action Group teleconference. I participated in that this week. Wasn't able to listen to the whole thing, but in the very beginning, Brenda Wilson discussed some really important involvement that's been happening all over the borough, which is really exciting. People are getting more involved in their communities, wanting to invite more people to attend the meetings and the teleconferences. So I think this group is gaining momentum. People are getting more involved. And so as we know more and as we get more information about that upcoming meeting in King Cove, I'll be sure to share that. Other than that, that's pretty much it for my report. So if you have any questions, feel free to let me know. Thank you.
Mary, Chris here. I'm just sending Tina a link right now to those dirt walls that you were talking about. I found their website, and so I know Paul had some questions on those, so I'll send that link to Tina.
Thank you, and if anyone wants to look up the Kodiak Clinic, it's the Mill Bay Health Clinic, I believe, and you can find a couple of different links from different contractors on that project online. So it's a really beautiful building, so they use that dirt wall system as well.
Paul? Thank you. I just want to say thanks for the work on the clinic, Mary, and the especially the energy efficiency thing, too. So thanks.
Yes.
Okay. So if there's no other questions for Mary, Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. Since the last Assembly meeting, I've been working on a variety of projects, including the newsletter, as well as dealing with the media after the new agreement was signed between DOI and the King Cove Corporation, and the annual report, number of other things. Annie touched on some of the details regarding the new agreement signed between DOI and the corporation. I dealt with a lot of the media inquiries afterward, wanting to get some quotes and some information. Della Trumbull did as well. As you all know, yesterday, nine environmental groups sued regarding that and trying to challenge the legality of that agreement. So we'll see where it goes from here. We also dealt with that a little bit yesterday, but for the most part, now that it's in litigation, we're not commenting on it at this time. Other projects I've been working on are the annual report, and I've been working on that closely with Annie. She's been providing a lot of information, as well as Mary. Very close with that, just put in some pictures. I'm going to have Annie look at it one more time. We'll probably have to update it with the Cold Bay school property information to include that so it's as up to date as possible. And we can have Annie and the mayor look it over, and then it should be ready to be sent out very soon. So that's exciting. Other than that, recently put out an In the Loop newsletter. It contained a story about the False Pass Tidal Energy Project. The U.S. Department of Energy awarded a $200,000 grant to Ocean Renewable Power Company. You may recall back in 2012, they were involved with this project, sort of exploring it, seeing what the tidal energy was like in that area. And so this gives them an infusion of money to start phase one of this project, which would entail developing a system that will integrate hydrokinetics with an energy storage system and smart grid control so that tidal energy will be the main source of energy and diesel will be more of a backup. So that's pretty exciting. I spoke to Monty Worthington of ORPC to get more information on this, and he believes that they will start work sometime this fall if all goes well. Another story was from the city of King Cove regarding an update on the two hydro facilities, Waterfall Creek and Delta Creek. As you've probably heard before, for the first 6 months of the year, the facilities have produced more than 80% of the community's electric demand. During the summer, it produces 100% renewable energy, so that's really exciting. Some updates, the city is planning to purchase a new turbine runner for Delta Creek Hydro and a concrete rebuild of the Glacier Creek Sluiceway. So a lot is happening there. Another story was focusing on Logan Thompson and his term as the youth representative on the AEP Assembly and kind of reflecting back on that, what he felt about it. And he also had some words of encouragement for other students that hopefully will follow after him and follow his lead. He basically said he thought it was a very gratifying and uplifting experience and one of the best experiences he ever had. So hopefully we'll see some other students applying for that as well. The other story contained an article focusing on last month's urban culture camp at APIA's headquarters in Anchorage. It was the 12th year for the camp, and it had the largest turnout ever, so large, in fact, that they had to turn some folks away. So very popular, lots of good classes there. Talked a little bit about the annual report, so that should be done soon. I'm also going to be completing work on a PowerPoint for Mayor Osterbach for the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters. I have some information I need to still get from Akatan, which Tuna said should be next month, so it'll be the most up-to-date, as well as Jordan Keeler with Standpoint, and then that will be done. So. Then last of all, I'll be working on some promotional materials for Fish Expo coming up. It's kind of that time where we have to start working on updating flyers and promotional materials, so it's a busy time. So if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Any questions? Okay. Thanks again, Ernie.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach. My report is also in the packet. I submitted on Friday, and there's been several changes, so I'll try to just hit highlights and updates. Anything underlined in there is a link to a supporting document. Pink Salmon, 2016 Disaster Funds, updated on Monday, including an 11-page frequently asked questions document on the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission website. As you know, Congress appropriated $56.3 million for the Gulf of Alaska pink salmon disaster. $3.63 goes to research, $1 million, $17.7 million for impacted processors, $2.4 for municipalities if they ever figure out how to distribute that, and then the majority of it, $31.8 million for fishermen, eligible permit holders and crew, but of that $31.8, only $1.7 million is bound for the South Peninsula impacted pink salmon fishermen. Most of it goes to Prince William Sound and then a lesser amount to Kodiak. Application material is supposed to be sent out by the commission to limited entry permit holders and eligible processors by mid-August, and then you have a deadline to return the application October 31st. The applications are then sent to crew members that the permit holders noted on their applications, and then the crew have until January 31st to return those applications. Payments are said to be distributed 6 to 8 weeks after applications are submitted. All this information is on the psmfc.org and our website, aebfish.org. If there's no action by mid-August, as they have claimed, we do have a staff member, Charlotte, who will be in the offices of the commission later this month for another meeting, and she may be able to follow up. I'll pause there if there's any questions on any of that. Hearing none. The Bear Lake Survey, as part of our strategic plan, we've been getting municipal entitlement lands, as you know, surveyed so we can receive final conveyance on those lands. And we started with unconveyed properties that have commerce near or on them. We completed Port Moeller. We're finishing up Sandy River. And now Bear Lake will probably be the last survey for a while. We finally received the survey instructions from DNR, and I've attached a graphic to my report of the there are 6 pages of survey instructions plus that graphic. If you're interested, McClintock and surveyors will be out there around August 20th. I did speak with Warren Johnson, the owner of the Bear Lake Lodge, and thanked him for his support of the project. Groundfish trawl management outreach, no real updates here from the written report. But we heard from Deputy Commissioner Rachel Baker that they had a desire to reach out to Western Gulf trawl stakeholders, and we quickly set up a stakeholder meeting during one of the salmon closures. I've provided a link to our previous memo to the Deputy Commissioner, and she says she's going to be presenting the state's position on any rationalization or groundfish management program changes in October at the council meeting. It's refreshing to have some fresh eyes and a logical perspective by Ms. Charlotte Levy. And as we move forward, we'll be continuing to talk with all the fishermen and the processors and elected officials. Alaska Marine Highway System. Just a few updates here, but not really. In October, I was appointed to the Marine Transportation Advisory Board. And then in December, the new governor nearly decimated the ferry system with his budget. And then the legislature had their own budget, and, you know, it's been hard to follow, all of it, with vetoes and no overrides, and now we have HB 2001 and SB 2002 on the governor's desk. So earlier this month, I had an MTAB meeting, and I've linked to my meeting summary that I had sent to the administration earlier. And a couple of notes from that, it was made clear that the replacement funds that $20 million that will leverage $220 million for the Tustamina replacement has already been appropriated. There still needs to be 3 Buy American waivers for the PTO, the rudders, and the stabilizers, and there are workarounds that are possible. But it was also made clear that that project, the vessel replacement for the Tustamina, is contingent on the report that the governor commissioned, the Alaska Marine Highway System reshaping report that Northern Economics is doing, and it's due out in October, so we just don't know what's going to happen with that. It may, we don't know. Of course, the strike has ended, and the Tustamina sailed from Kodiak to Homer last night, and it's scheduled to head out to the communities next week. Finally, the Chignik petition, the Chignik Intertribal Coalition, as you know, submitted an emergency petition in June, and the commissioner denied the petition in July. I've linked to both of those documents in my report. Chignik Total Escapement is doing well. As of yesterday, over 590,000 sockeye through the weir, and Chignik fishermen are fishing. Over 420,000 sockeye caught as of yesterday, and over 500,000 pinks. For reference, well, last year there was relatively no fish caught in Chignik, but in 2017, by this date, Chignik had harvested over 747,000 sockeye and 1.7 million pinks. There was an article in KDLG that was picked up a week later by ADN about Chignik hanging on by a thread. There were several inaccuracies, in my opinion. I did want to state on the record that South Peninsula fishermen are sharing in the burden of conservation for Chignik-bound sockeye. One, the Southeast District mainland has been closed all year in support of Chignik harvest and escapement. Two, the South Peninsula fishing schedule was realigned at the Board of Fish meeting this year. resulting in an increase of 72% more closures with no gear in the water. And then finally, the Dolgoi area was closed this year to seine vessels for all of June in an effort to help Chignik escapement. Also, my report is a couple of charts based on FY19 fish tax and then meetings. So I can't answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie? Okay. So for the Kelp Queen, Charlotte, are you there?
I am here. Hello, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So you guys should all have my report. Okay, so starting with groundfish. As Ernie mentioned, we had the stakeholder meeting with ADFG, the AEB groundfish meeting. Ernie was able to attend in Sandpoint. I, unfortunately, was not able to attend in King Cove because of the flight cancellation, but I will make it out there. I'm very excited to visit King Cove, I swear. We had a lot of good participation. I'm not going to go through the list, but I did outline there was a lot of common themes among the fishermen, and I think these are themes that have shown trends over the past however many years since this has been a discussion. Ernie has been indispensable. I've been doing a lot of research into sort of this timeline of rationalization and the many different programs that have been implemented in different ways. And Ernie has a lot of that historical context where I don't. I would say following the ADFG meeting that we had, I think everybody probably appreciated that they wanted to reach out to stakeholders. And I think with the short amount of time that we had, they had a pretty long list of questions and things that they wanted to talk to the fishermen about. Although there were some themes, there wasn't a full consensus, and I definitely think there was still a little bit of work left to do as far as some of the more pointed questions that the ADFG was trying to get at that we didn't have time to get at. All of that being said, in 2014, and this is actually an error in my report, NIMS did too, but Ernie sent out a survey regarding groundfish rationalization and sort of trying to understand a little bit in more detail the perspectives of the fishermen and, the stakeholders. And I think that following the ADFG meeting, it might be a really great time to revisit that survey with all of the stakeholders and maybe modify it with all of the changes that have happened in the last few years. So with that being said, I'm currently working on developing an AHP model, which is an analytical hierarchy process model. It's just a really fancy way of saying it takes mathematical weights of different criteria. So in this survey, I'd like to design it so that we have different weights of priorities among the stakeholders and the fishermen, and then we can apply them to all of the different types of program elements that come with a rationalization program so that we understand exactly what is important to the fishermen and the communities and what types of program elements would be suitable for the Western Gulf, because the fishermen have made it very clear we want, a program that is sort of tailored to the Western Gulf. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, very astutely mentioned that once a program goes in and once rationalization happens, there's really no going back from it. And since there's such a pressing need to move forward, especially if the state is going to take a stance in October, I think it's really important that we do sort of a comprehensive review of what works in our region and what doesn't. So I'm hoping to do that. Now, I'm working on it now. I've been working on it the past week, and of course, I want it to go before maybe the assembly or Alvin or people, some of our fishermen who serve on the assembly to give some feedback on what I've got so far. But that's kind of a big thing I'm working on. I did reference, you'll see there's some hyperlinks in my report. Those are some previous similar surveys and models that have been done in other fisheries. One's held at Longline in Southeast. Another was in Kodiak, and so I think this is a good chance to be able to tell the council and the state exactly what it is we want and what we don't want. Any questions on that? That was a lot of talking off the cuff. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Good. So for projects, EM, we are slowly but steadily moving forward with electronic monitoring project. I don't think as of the last meeting, we have officially submitted the NIFWIF proposal for the second phase of the Western Gulf project. So we should know hopefully by November if that gets funded. We've talked about that, so I won't go over it. As far as the exempted fishing permit, that, like I said, is an iterative process. We just received our first draft with feedback from NIMS. So I met with the EFP team to go over all of their suggestions and edits, and then we sent it back to them. Next, it will go to the Alaska Fisheries Science Center, where they will go over a lot of the technical details of, data collection and things like that, and then it will come back to us. So it'll go back and forth until we're ready to present it at the council meeting in October. Let me see here. I will be meeting again with the Trawl EFP team 2 weeks from now to discuss sort of the actual implications of having EM systems and what that means in a regulatory sense. So, for example, if EM were to malfunction, what does that mean as far as your participation in the EFP? So a lot of those little tricky details we're going to go over. And I will just tie this back very quickly. I won't get into it. But I also am trying to figure out who is the best person to talk to about how moving into a maximized retention regime because of EM will tie into rationalization, because as we all know, bycatch is kind of the top argument for rationalization. And since through this EFP, we are planning to move to an optimized retention system, that will change things a little bit. And I'm wondering if anybody has thought about that. And nobody's told me, so I'm assuming that's a no. Okay. We did get support from Silver Bay that they'll be participating in the EFP, and also they're going to try and work out how to get their tenders outfitted this year for the fall and winter season, because getting data from their tenders, since they will be using a lot of tenders, is going to be critical to the project and making sure we get a good amount of data this coming fall. So that's very exciting. I've also been working with our attorney, borough attorney, to figure out how to access e-landings, but making sure that the fishermen are protected so we can use that in the project. I'm going to move on. Any questions about that? Okay, great. Mariculture. So the Sandpoint Fish and Game and DNR permit application is under the 20-day agency review. It was supposed to be up today, but another agency has requested another extension, so that will be up on August 16th, and then it will move into public comment. One of the results from the agency review was the Army Corps requesting a general permit for operation because it's in navigable waters, but that was really easy. We got that done within a day, and even though it's still in 20-day review, the findings from the Corps are that it's not going to be an issue. They think it's fine. They recommend approval. This is non-official, but the funding application with Alaska Sea Grant for the second phase of the Sandpoint Mariculture Farm has tentatively been recommended for funding. So that would mean maybe next year we'll be able to move into actually building the farm and starting to do some of that, which is super exciting, but, anything could change in this fiscal climate. We also submitted a pre-proposal for the NOAA SK grant with, I think I mentioned this last time, to investigate a sea urchin fishery, which I like to call low-hanging fruit because there's already an established fishery in other places, so that sets precedence for a regulatory package, and then, for regulatory management. And also because we can reuse a lot of the pots that are sitting around towns for passive trapping of urchins, and then just sort of consolidate them in one place and pass them along and package them up with the golden king crab industry for live export. So it's kind of a win-win for everyone. And it helps a little bit of restoration efforts because they eat all of the kelp and they create these wastelands in the water. So it's like a twofer deal. So anyways, I would note that this is a no-match grant. And, of course, if it's recommended for full proposal, that will come before the assembly via resolution. Okay, wrapping it up. As some of you might remember, I've been working with SeaShare to try and get the prohibited species catch that we give to SeaShare. I'm trying to get that back into the communities and specifically through any food banks and especially back into our schools so that they can benefit from all of this fish that we're catching and that we have to send out. So SeaShare is actually working with our processors in our communities right now to figure out how they can process this fish so that's usable for the schools and for any food banks. And they also said they'd be willing to pay for any freezer needs in the communities if we can figure out how the logistics would work for that. So that's exciting also. And then the last thing is that I'm hoping in this fall that any communities who are interested, but I have already spoken to Sandpoint, can participate in the Fishing for Energy derelict gear cleanup. I've mentioned this before, but this program basically pays to have Connexes or these giant waste containers shipped out to communities, and then, you know, any unused or non-usable gear can just be dumped into this, and they will haul it off for free and reuse it for energy. I am also hoping to sift through some of this stuff and reuse and repurpose some of the gear for any kelp farms that we might establish, because it may not work for trawl or pot, but it's probably going to work to hang kelp. So that's my next project, and I will be sending an email out to all of the communities who might be interested in that. I will take any questions, and I'm sorry that was so long.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Charlotte?
So the SeaShare will go in. I always wondered what the SeaShed was for.
It belongs with the SeaShare.
Oh, no. Okay, thank you. Emil.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. My report's in your packet as well. It's not very big, but I've been doing quite a bit of work with Annie and Mary with the terminal and with EMI as well, just trying to get them in here and out as fast as possible. Organizing just with that terminal stuff, getting all the materials list together so that we can know about what dollar amount that we'll be looking at when we start the remodeling there, when the ink starts to dry on the paper, once we get somebody looking at wanting to get in there. So just moving along with that, and just working with the school district here with trying to get on this with that CERC work orders as well, because now that, you know, we're going to be looking into grant stuff for Sandpoint School, it would be really good to keep up on all this, all the work orders and everything that the state really needs to get us higher up on the list. And right now, hoping to look at reimbursement for our last project that's on the list with the state, with DED program, and that's our pool apron that we had did, and that's submitted. So that's still in there, still going, and just need to update some more narratives for the state and try to just get it spruced up a little bit better so we could score a little bit higher on the list. You know, goes by a point system now and just try to get as many points as we possibly can. But my strategic plan update, I've got all my punch lists for all the facilities, or not the schools, but for our offices. And what we need, it isn't very much, but we'd be going to think that whatever money we have in the savings account, the AMLJA savings account, would probably be able to take care of most of that for all our OSHA compliances in those buildings as well. Dug the new hole. Actually, the city came up and dug the hole for the new internet that we have now. Put the pole in. New dish on. Microcom's been out here the last couple days. Hooked us up to some really nice internet so far, but we'll see what happens when the weather comes in and see how connectivity and fast it'll be then, but it's really exciting now to see that we got some you know, decent speed for internet going here with no data limits either. So that's a big plus. And so we're not looking at, you know, extra costs, and we know what that's going to be up to. And contractors we're trying to get them out to Accutan as soon as possible. They're going to be doing, you know, the mechanical and electrical and controls upgrades out there in Accutan. We were trying to get them in there before school started, but doesn't look like that may happen, or it may still be right pretty close. And then we'll be out there doing all that. Sandpoint Paint Project, just constantly in contact with Kukar and trying to get them cheaper housing, and just trying to keep the cost down as much as we can and helping them out so that, you know, they won't have to charge near as much, try to get some more cost savings, and just working with them as well. And then finding out when I need to, you know, get over to that Cold Bay Terminal, and now it sounds like I might have another project while I'm over there. So, and if we have any other, if you guys have any questions, I'll be able to answer, I hope.
Thank you, Emil. Any questions for Emil?
The pool just recently got refilled in Sandpoint, and I know you've been working on the pool pressure since we had that last mechanical in. I think in February. But I'm being told that we're replacing water on a regular basis, as in we weren't adding salt at all, and now we're adding salt every month. And if you walk in there, the humidity is, even in hall, it's pretty substantial. So I'm just wondering when we're going to revisit that. And
I'll talk with Mayor and Annie about trying to get in there, but we're trying to keep an eye on it, trying to keep a negative pressure in there so that we could keep, you know, all that moisture out of there. And with that leak, and that's where I think most of that water's coming from, is the condensation that's building up in there. I'm hoping that the adding the salt is because we had to add so much new fresh water that it's getting everything up to, as everything starts slowly, you know, chemicals get evened out, that it'll actually be all right after that.
We're adding the salt every month because we're adding so much water, it's going up into the air. But the reason I bring that up is because because it's an ongoing project from the mechanical that was just in. And I just don't want it to disappear because we're starting to get the nails coming through and all the metal. We're seeing a lot of stuff in this. And so it's an ongoing issue from that last mechanical. With the paint, we've talked about the doors, and I just want to put them back on your list again. The doors around the building are shot pretty much all the way around. So. And the fire inspector that was just in, when are you anticipating reporting on that one?
He should be sending those few items back with what was problem. There are just four poles. He said that it's operational to the date that it was installed, so past inspection, but we have a couple poles that need to get replaced, and he's supposed to send those in. And hopefully there should be a full report coming with that as well.
Okay. And just for strategic planning purposes, I wanted to put that on everybody's radar because we kind of indicated that my building is out of compliance to the tune of possibly $140,000. Just a number of issues, but mostly the alarm system is there since the 80s. And we can't add, and there's a number of things that are just not there, and so I wanted to put that out on the radar. Thanks, Sam.
Yep.
Okay. Any other?
Hey, this is Chris here in King Cove. I just wanted to kind of clarify a little bit what Ingrid was saying about the pool over there. I mean, if we're spending this money to have this stuff fixed and it's not getting fixed, where's the warranty, or where are these outfits coming back and fixing what we're paying? I mean, you know, we're paying big money for these companies to come in and make these fixes, and if it's not getting fixed, then maybe we need to find another outfit.
Yeah, well, we'll look into it. This is the first I've heard about it myself, so I don't have much to say about it. I didn't know anything about this. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Well, that's the last of the reports. As Emil noted there, we do have new internet service here at the office, and I just wanted to thank Tina. She basically was the one that pushed forward on this, and we got it put in. I think it'll drop, actually, the cost of our internet per month. And so I want to look forward a little, and I understand this company is going to put another satellite up towards the end of September with faster internet and more coverage. So we may want to take a look at putting this type of system into the finance office and King Cove so they can get their work done on a better schedule than they're doing now. So anyway, that's looking forward a little bit, and this so far the one we have has only been in for a day and a half, but it's sure working really nice. So with that, assembly comments. Okay.
Hi, this is Daly. Hello, Mayor and Assembly. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Daly.
I've been on here. I just didn't want to interrupt. Just to let you know, I've been on here listening, and I was a little late because I was at work, of course. So just letting you know, I'm here.
Okay. Did you have anything that you wanted?
Okay. I just didn't hear about the moving to the new moving to the new terminal. That is that a go? Are we a go on that one then?
Well, we're still finishing up negotiations, but probably rather than go through it all again, maybe you and Annie could get together and just talk about it.
Yeah, no problem. I just didn't know. I can do that.
Okay. Public comment. Okay.
Oh, so, Mr. Mayor, Gary Hennig here. If I might speak for a moment to address you and the assembly members. Just want to let you know that in King Cove, we're probably looking at the biggest fiscal challenge that I've seen in all of my years, and I think most of you know I'm probably referring to what's happening over in Falls Pass, and I'm very happy for all of that. And the impact, though, on King Cove is starting to be at a level that I never expected. And given what we know, what we've learned from the June taxes and things I have been learning since then are telling me that we could be seeing as much as $300,000 to $500,000 of our summer salmon revenue leaving King Cove. And we're going to have to deal with this, obviously. And at the moment, I guess I don't even begin to know what we're going to do. We started this year assuming that we were going to be losing maybe 20% of our summer salmon revenue, only to now know it's probably closer to 75 to 80%. And if this was just a one-year thing, we could probably say, okay, it just happens. But I think we all know it's probably not a one-year thing because of the investments that are being made over in Falls Pass. So I just share that for your general awareness with the belief that you will probably be hearing more from the city in terms of what we're going to try to do and that we might be seeking some help. And I have no idea what sort of help that would be at the moment, but I at least, on behalf of Mayor Henry Mack, wanted to enter this into the record that we are quite concerned about what's going on. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Yeah, I think when this salmon season ends, because of what happened with pinks in the beginning and what's happening kind of with pinks right now, it'll be interesting on every community's budget, I think, when this comes to a close. So, it gets wrapped up, we'll all have to take a look at it. Any other public comments? Hearing none. So the next meeting will be September 12th, I believe, is the second Thursday. So With that, Paul?
Move to adjourn.
Okay, we have moved to adjourn. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
That was your Aleutians East Borough Assembly meeting. Lots of interesting stuff covered there. We will have that